It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies recording a podcast. Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to podcast 149, coming to you like the excuse, Asher, it's Christmas. Every time someone offers you a mince pie, a drink and a half tin of roses. On this week's podcast, are you feeling a bit like George Michael when he sang, "Last Christmas I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away"? Well, fear not, because we are going to speak to a matchmaker on how to look for love in all the right places.
He's not a fan of cricket, saying any sport where lads can wear a cardigan doesn't do it for him, but Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
She wants a ring on her finger like Gollum in The Lord of the Rings, but if you listen on Patreon, you'll know that she really wants a cream egg. Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional as father falling asleep on the couch after Christmas dinner while watching Only Fools and Horses, we round off the podcast with our
Yorts and Darts.
Son?
Son, let in, son. Before commencing with proceedings, thus, son, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Son.
On television, Rowan said, in 1977, my nana won Housewife of the Year.
Oh, my God.
The competition contestants, they had to make a family meal that would feed four on a low budget of around £4, four old Irish punts.
Punts at the time.
For the competition, my nana made a lamb and courgette stew and a banana pie. As a prize, she won a Kalar gas cooker, picnic stove, prize money, and also got an interview with Woman's Way, who sponsored the competition at the time. Sadly, I can't find any photos of her on the day or any of her prizes, but I couldn't let this topic go without emailing you about it. Hopefully, this will be read out on the podcast so that my parents and my granda can hear it. And Maura, on our behalf, has put a call into Woman's Way, and we're going to try find those photos, Rowan, of your nana.
Class. Stacey messaged, when I was a child, myself, my brother and my sister would take turns each Friday night having a sleepover in my granny's house. It was about maybe 1989 or 1990, I can't be sure. But anyway, my wee granny had an old TV which would have been old fashioned in those days, something close to the size and shape of a microwave today. So 7-year-old Stacey sits down in her granny's house in front of the blazing fire with a nice cup of tea and 9 million sugars, 50 biscuits, and I start to colour in my wee colouring book. Then I look at the TV and sumo wrestlers are on the TV, all grunting and 90% naked, slapping each other and rolling around. Well, by fuck, all I remember hearing was, "Holy Mary, Mother of Jesus, the child, oh, the child." Poor granny, she didn't know how to turn the TV off, so she just got a tea towel and hung it over the screen with the help of her vase of flowers. But all the grunting from the sumos could still be clearly heard. I says, "Granny, if you press the..." She shouted at me, "Do not touch them." She then moved me and her into the scullery. We then sat there till she needed the loo and I ran in and turned off the TV. That is excellent. Excellent.
Fair play to you, Stacey. That's brilliant.
Oh my God.
I was once watching TV. We had one of those big old TVs and I pulled it down off the stand down on top of myself when I was only like 3.
You really were a problem child.
Oh, big time.
Going around running into stuff, pulling down TVs, putting hoods over your head.
Mother never let me forget it. She was like, "Remember that time you nearly killed yourself with television? Now I'm on television."
Yeah, wow. Hey, circle of life.
As Elton John says, boy. Talking about veterinary stories, another anonymous person has said, "I'm studying veterinary in UCD. And the story last week, or a couple of weeks ago, from the girl working in a vet's in England reminded me of some outrageous things I've seen on work placement. Like her, I've seen plenty of people cleaning food containers with the same brushes for washing up equipment. God damn it. One woman used to clean surgical instruments after operating on a dog by putting them in the kettle with water and boiling it. Blood and pus still on them. The same kettle she made the tea with."
So I'm getting lightheaded. Stop.
Another fella I saw examine a dog's backside. Obviously forgot he still had the gloves on and then takes his sandwich out of his lunchbox and takes a bite.
Yeah, dirty animal.
Then he saw the gloves, put the sandwich down, removed the gloves and goes back to eating the sandwiches again. I'm not squeamish, but I nearly puked.
Yeah.
But the worst and funniest story was one morning and one of the lads came in very hungover. The vets and veterinary students can be a fairly rowdy bunch when we get together, as many stories from Ryan's and Flannery's and Camden Street will confirm. Aye, aye. This lad came in absolutely hanging from the night before, looking terrible and really dehydrated, as you'd expect. He then decided to get a saline drip for calves and hook it into his own vein in his arm and hung it up in the car using that little hook above the car door while we were driving out to the first call of the day.
Oh my God.
Definitely the rawest thing I ever saw in the vets.
A friend of ours gets chest infections a good bit and he swears by calf tablets.
Yeah.
You know, tablets that you'd give a calf like when he's got runny... I suppose a runny nose, like.
Yeah.
And he said, like,
a half one.
Yeah, he said he'd pop an old half one or a quarter of one. And he says it does the job, gets rid of the chest infection. But now he's immune to normal antibiotics.
Yeah.
So he reckons if he gets proper sick, he's going to have to just go to a vet.
Okay, podcast disclaimer, we do not recommend taking antibiotics designated for animals.
But they're class for your chest, seemingly.
Don't do it.
Short dose.
Don't do it.
Okay. On gaslighting, last week's episode hit too close to home for one listener and she says, I went out with a fella from Sligo in college for a couple of years and having had my eyes opened by the mystery topic, he 100% gaslighted me. He used to go home to Mammy in the sheep farm most weekends and he had recently got a Saturday job in a local cafe. Himself and a girl from up the road.
Cafe.
Who was also in UCD were the only main staff in the cafe. The cafe. Not to be a basic bitch, but I obviously creeped her on Facebook to judge her with my friends. When I realised he had liked a lot of her recent pics and none of mine, having previously cited not using Facebook as his reason for the latter. So I was a bit wary of this young one, but I told myself to get over it until I had more concrete, less psychopathic reasons to be suspicious. I tiptoed around the subject a bit, asking how the new job was going, what his colleagues were like, to which I got the usual monosyllabic replies of grandeur. To be fair, he treated me like shite for a good while now and I shouldn't have put up with it, but sure wasn't I head over heels and in love with the whole boyfriend situation. I should have noped out for good when he bought me an M&M peanut Easter egg. That is actually quite, I would actually quite like one of them. Knowing full well I have a nut allergy. Ooh. Not ideal. But sure, look, don't we all make stupid decisions when we're young, dumb and full of cum? She said that, not me.
I guess.
Anyway, he had been home one weekend and was giving me a lift into college after staying at his house the next day when I came across the remnants of a McDonald's in the footwell of the passenger seat. This is like Jessica Fletcher stuff here. Now, this lad didn't actually like McDonald's, another ignored red flag on my behalf, so I played it cool and asked him who he drove up from home with. He said, just himself. So again, the alarm bells were ringing. I decided not to get into it at that point, but I kind of knew in my gut he was barefaced lying to me, which obviously bothered me more than just giving a work hon a lift from home. I'd be sitting beside him on the couch of an evening and he wouldn't want to chat shit or nothing. Then her name would flash up on the phone and he'd hide it away and be flat out texting in that kind of crack. At college, we lived with a few other lads from Sligo and he was the only one with a car, a battered O2 Passat with a hitch, of course. Bi racers do get the girls after all. Scroll on to the end of the week and one of the housemates made the mistake of asking whether he was giving your one a lift again while I was there. I waited till it was just the pair of us in the room. Then naturally, I flipped the lid about why he'd lied about coming up on his own. He lost the plot and I got told I was being paranoid. He barely talks to her. They just work together. All the usual shite. He got so worked up, I knew well he had feelings for her and that he was just putting her back on me. Anyway, after weeks of tears and fights about Jesus knows what else, he dumped me on our 2-year anniversary.
Oh!
The nicest thing he's ever done for me, looking back. I used to think that I had become one of those annoying girls who cries on every night out because they're sloppy drunk, but since then I've realised I'm actually some woman to sink pints with the lads and that the crying was actually because I was being constantly led to believe I was an annoying sack of shite. The worst part of the whole thing is that I believed it and didn't have the balls to say, here lad, I deserve better than this, get fucked. But hey, hindsight's 20/20. I never found out if he actually acted on his crush and did the dirt with your one while we were together. But I relish in the fact that several months later, I heard from a mutual friend that himself and his barista were no longer friends, since it had been discovered they were actually cousins. In a way, I hope he did cheat with her because then he'd be a cousin fucker and there's no real coming back from that.
Yes.
It's been very cathartic writing this 5 years on, so thanks a million, lads.
Oh my God.
That's Matt. That is mad. Yeah, kissing cousins, it's not cool, man. It's not cool.
Telling lies.
On cock blocking, John.
Yes, John, I've got a suggestion for you, says this anonymous person. Let me get started with my story. I wasn't long out of a long-term relationship, and as we all know, the only way to get over someone is to get under someone else. Well, it's been said. Anyway, my story starts with an invitation from my brother to his birthday party, of all places, in Leash. He was having a kind of two-in-one celebration, as he had spent the previous few months renovating the back garden. So it was a garden party too. Wow. All my family will be there. Mom, Dad, my sister, my three brothers. He even had a presentation of all the work he had done over the few months on a big screen. Wow. At the end of the presentation, up pops a baby scan picture. Everyone is delighted. Okay, that's nice. You're announcing that they're having a baby.
Yeah.
Anyway, what does this have to do with cock blocking, I hear you ask? Yes. Don't worry, I'm getting to it. Please do. So my brother had offered me the box room in his house, as my mam and dad had the main spare room. The drinks were flowing and I realised there was only one single lady at the party. I made it my business to chat with her and give her the old chat. As the night went on, everyone else at the party could see what was going to happen. We went inside to the sitting room and started to get acquainted. Not too heavy, bit of shifting. Anyway, in bursts a few of the lads to see what's going on in here. So we decide to go up to the spare room. As I walked out, my mum and dad are standing telling people that they're heading to bed in the room next to mine. As I started to walk up the stairs with my new friend, my dad spotted me and called me back. "Keep to the same rhythm as me," he said, with a grin on his face. Well, God bless that girl, because it took me about an hour and a half to get the horn after hearing that. On a positive note, we did get there in the end, and I eventually managed to put in some type of a performance. She was an absolute trooper. She never gave up on me. I'm not sure if anyone else has ever been cock-blocked by their dad in this unconventional way, but I'm sure this could be a new trend. Their little daughter was born only a couple of weeks ago, and they've asked me to be godfather, so all is well that ends well. P.S. My dad is originally from Care.
That's traumatic.
Max is horrified.
Is he more horrified over what the dad said, or somebody giving a presentation about work done they've did to their garden?
Yeah, I think somebody giving a presentation on work that they've actually, like, you know, I don't, like, say to Johnny B, come over, lad, we're going to have a few cans. And then I put up on my television on the big screen, I hoovered all the hall today.
PowerPoint.
Yeah. And here's, just flick on to the next slide there, Neil. Yeah, that's me doing the washing up. Next slide. I took out the bins as well.
Here's me painting.
Yeah, and then last slide. Here's me shagging your mother. Keep to the same rhythm. The only saving grace here is that your dad's originally from Care, so I'm not going to take this any further. But like, I wouldn't say that to my son. Like, and I think I'm a bit of crack. Like, you know.
No,
like,
you know, the video was from his brother, no, not from his dad.
Okay, I thought the dad did the video.
No, they went over to his brother's house. His brother was having a two-for-one birthday party and like, garden party.
Okay.
And then the brother announced that him and the wife are having a baby. That was the point of the video. They slip in the slide at the end.
Okay.
Still, okay. I think your take is funny.
Yeah, okay. That's good. Thanks, you just dissected it there.
Do you know, is that not a bit of crack your dad to say to you, hey, keep to the same rhythm as me, lad?
Not when you're shagging your mother.
Who else?
Yeah, well, I don't want him to shagging the neighbour either. Yeah. But like,
you don't want your dad to be on a drought either. Like.
No, but like, if your dad's not with your mam, like, and he's got another one, like, it's a bit cracked in, like. But like, when he's like, oh, keep the same rhythm, he'd be like, that's my mother you're talking about.
Yeah, but what's he going to do? Like, not shag her.
I can imagine your dad saying that to you now. Keep the same rhythm as me.
Be like, go on, you fucking legend.
Oh, fucking pulverize me, mother.
You know, but he doesn't see it that way.
Yeah. Right, getting on.
Also, you never keep up with me.
Yeah, get real. That man's old. Yeah, he do mischief. Getting home for Christmas, Laura said, can I give you my dirt of the year as well as a shameless attempt at bagging the Noel's News mug? I'm sitting here on a couch in Dublin Airport after leaving my place in Tanland 9 hours ago. All was fine and dandy this evening. Finished up a stressful few weeks of assignments on my master's course in Norwich. Was listening to the podcast and Christmas tunes to keep me entertained on the train to Stansted. Looking forward to being reunited with everyone for the Christmas break. All was great. I was in the festive spirit until a guy approached me in the queue for the flight saying I needed to pay £25 as the bag, which had never been a problem before, was too big for non-priority boarding. I decided there was no point in arguing, even though the bag has gone on before with no hassle. I sucked it up and I handed over the £25. I forgot to mention that I had 25 minutes to get from the plane out to the last bus for Roscrea in Dublin Airport, which would have been more than manageable if my bag was in the overhead as I had planned. Cut to boarding the flight and two of the cabin crew were greeting people and I clocked the big tag that's been put in my bag by the guys who screwed me over. The bastard tells me he has to put my luggage underneath and I can collect it on the carousel when we land. I explained there's only one night bus, I'll miss it if I have to wait for baggage at the other side. Two people even offered to move their overhead bags under their seats, as did I, loads of room under my seat for it, but they wouldn't budge. They said if there was room once everyone had boarded, that did see what the crack was then. Before we took off, I pointed out a big gap in the overhead locker opposite me and literally begged them to put it in there. There were tears now at this stage. The bastard just said they can't, it's policy.
Ah!
I'm raging, I didn't think of ripping off the telltale sticker and they'd never have noticed when I boarded. Anyway, we landed at the scheduled time and I ran like the hammers of hell, right through passport control, no problem, to the baggage claim. Waited 15 minutes at the carousel, my bag must have been one of the last to appear. Bursted out the exit to Zone 16 where Cavanagh's bus was leaving to take me home to see everyone for the first time in 4 months. Got there 4 minutes late and a guy at the bus stop told me Cavanagh's bus had left 2 minutes ago. Won't mention the airline because I know you'll only get used, but I hope Claudia and Roberta and the prick in the airport get a dose of the scutters over the Christmas and aren't able to eat their Christmas dinner.
How did you get home?
It's got to be Ryanair, isn't it?
Do you know? Let us know, we'll name
it. Yeah. It sounds Ryanair.
Shit.
It sounds Ryanair, to be fair.
Sorry to hear that. Where was she going? Roscrea?
Roscrea, yeah. Doss.
Jeez, how would you get out of Dublin Airport to Roscrea? To get a train to Limerick, would you, or something?
Ooh. Yeah, but like, how do you get out of Dublin Airport to get a train?
You have to get a bus to town.
Bus to town.
You get stay with a friend or stay overnight in a hotel and get the bus the next morning or something.
If you come into Dublin Airport late at night...
Yeah.
Ah, lad, you wouldn't know where you are.
Yeah, but honestly, it's fair hard find the bus.
Very hard.
I was on a stag one time trying to find, like, you know, the local bus here, like, it was like Dinny driving. Like.
Yeah.
It's impossible to know where the buses are, like. And especially after two days on the battery in Cologne. It's hard. Couldn't even find me soul after that.
Okay. Who is going to get the Two Johnnies mug? You'll find them on kcsports.ie, who sell all the lovely Two Johnnies merchandise. Who do you like for it, lads?
I like Stacey and the Zumo wrestlers.
Oh, you like Stacey and the Zumo wrestlers?
Yeah, Maura.
I like the chap whose dad said something very indiscreet to him, but I don't think he should get the mug. I think the girl who spent 90 minutes trying to get him have a horn, I think she deserves the mug.
No,
she must have like wrists on her like Andy Murray, because like that is some effort.
Sure, she mightn't have been using the wrists.
Okay, I think it's two against one here.
Yeah, but if he wants to get in touch and like give us a contact detail for that one, we'll get her a second mug.
Yeah, we'll get a second mug for her, yeah,
100%. She deserves something, definitely.
Okay, Stacey and the Zumo wrestlers, you can email podcast at twojohnnies.ie with all your contact details. Mara, get the mug sorted.
Is it like if you win a tennis tournament, you get like a little bronze statue of someone playing tennis? Like, is she just going to get like a big wrist?
With a Williams.
A flaccid.
Okay, no. The weekly roundup.
What's been going on? We have a television show.
Yeah, boom.
Surprise, motherfuckers.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Christmas Eve.
Yeah, the Christmas
Network
Spectacular.
10:15.
Yeah, it's
Christmas Eve.
It's going to be tropic, lad.
Yeah.
People are in for some surprises. Two Johnnies, as you've never seen them before, and a host of celebrity friends.
We've leaned on everyone we know to them to do stupid shit.
We have exhausted the phone book at this point, honest to God.
There'll be times you'll be watching it and we'll be doing things with famous people and you'll be like, why did you get them to do that?
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah. It's better than just chatting shit, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit of crack. Christmas Spectacular. It's family friendly-ish.
You can watch it with...
You watch it with the kids, 100%. You can watch it with the kids. You might have to like explain, you know, what a bastard is or something. But that's about as bad as it gets.
Mind that.
So it's pretty family friendly, yeah. Also, if you're looking for a last minute Christmas present, lad, the Two Johnnies book, come here and I tell you.
Yeah.
I haven't driven it as hard as I drove last year's book.
Drive it, lad.
I drove it down people's throat, but I'm telling you right now, buy it. If you don't buy it for your loved one this Christmas, they're going to leave you.
Yeah.
And you're going to be lonely, sobbing into your fucking spuds on Christmas Day. So buy the Two Johnnies, come here and I tell you. It's in all bookshops now, I hear.
Yeah.
And Easons.com. You get on the Two Johnnies, I eat a whole lot. It's all there. And also, John, you know, because we recorded it, there's an audiobook version.
I was there.
It's on Apple Books. Or it's on Audible, and you can buy
Amazon,
it.
Amazon, whatever.
Amazon Books, the online listen. You can listen to it. It's me and Johnny reading out the book, basically. If you're too lazy to read, you can listen to it.
Well, you know, later on in the podcast, we have a relationship expert on, and she said to me that if somebody doesn't buy their loved one to Johnny's book, like, that they're definitely cheating on them.
100%. 100%. There you go.
And they also, like, would probably fuck their own cousin.
Yeah, the cousin fucker.
Yeah,
if you, if the cousin, you you're a cousin fucker if you don't buy the Two Johnny's
if
book.
If you don't get the book. Just.
Yeah, we're just throwing it out
it's
there.
It's not a direct
I know
quote.
It's Christmas week.
That's the gist of what she said. I can't. I don't want to paraphrase, but
There you go. 100%, man. And thanks a million to everyone who signed up to the Extra Podcast that's on Patreon at €6 a month. On this week's Extra Podcast number 40, ladies and gentlemen, we explain the cream egg story.
Maury, okay.
Maury, I can hear Maury saying, fuck's sake. I'm in shock.
What?
You can't be doing that, my friend. What? You can't be taking stuff out of the fridge and eating.
Maury,
what do you think?
Something very similar happened involving you two and my boyfriend. we left him in the sitting room to watch something while we recorded the podcast, and he came in afterwards and just said it straight off. I ate there was what you call
cream
it, Cadbury's cream egg in the fridge. I ate. Sorry.
. 2020 has been a difficult year for dating, with no pub to go to and having to have socially distant dates. So have you ever thought about getting someone professional to arrange your dates, i.e. a matchmaker? Mairead Lachman from Mullingar is a modern day matchmaker and founder of lovehq.ie. We got her over and we rolled straight into it. We started chatting about Tinder.
Honestly now, would you have any advice? First message on Tinder, like, what's a good opener for a lad on Tinder?
I'd probably just say be natural and just be nice, you know, be polite. Well, it depends what you're looking for, I suppose.
See, that's the exact opposite of the advice we've been given.
Yeah, I know.
Be yourself, be
nice.
Is that
why all your listeners are single?
Yes, we're about as subtle as a brick to the face now. That's about as subtle as we are.
Go on, honestly now, any advice for, like, open a message on the dating website?
Well, you have to remember, most women like to be treated like a lady, okay? So at least at the beginning, start off with, you know, lovely photographs, or give them a compliment and they're like, oh, this lad is a lovely guy. You know, at least start off on a nice level. You're going to get a lot further with a little bit of honey than...
Lie to them first, though.
Okay, well, maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
Massage them, I'd be saying, like, with words now. I don't mean, like, you know, you can't...
you can't go straight in. Yeah.
Social distance.
That's it.
Okay, no, because we have a lot of listeners listening, and they say that, like, they don't know what to say to a girl if they get chatting.
Yeah, well, look, I always think keep the conversation going. Like, don't start in with these one-word answers, or even at least throw in a question at some stage in the text so that they have something to come back with. Like, you know, not everybody be as chatty as you two lads, you know. It's gift to the gab. You must be in down the Blarney for your holidays every year, you know.
We're shifting it.
He
fingered the Blarney Stone.
Oh, Jesus. But so not everybody'd have the gift of the gab, so you'd have to, you know, get the whole thing going and get up a bit of a conversation, build up a bit of rapport. Like I always say, and as well when you're going on dates, you're trying to build a connection with people. You're not just, you know, trying to get through the motion. Like, don't be asking them what their favourite colour is, and don't start talking for 10 minutes about, you know, Tipperary hurling or Liverpool score or whatever. Like, most women are not.
Damn.
Yes. That's where you're going wrong, is it?
Yes.
But, you know, start, build up a bit of a connection, ask them how they are, and, you know, be genuinely interested.
Right. Okay. Well, as per usual, we've done this arseways and we've dove straight in. Saying, hello, how are you doing?
But the first question I have is how do you become a matchmaker? How did you get into matchmaking?
So first of all, I was working in finance for years, and I just thought to myself, there has to be more to life than this. So for years, I was always setting up my friends. I was the one that was like, I have a great lad friend, and one of the girls be coming down from college, and I'd be kind of saying to the lads beforehand, oh, one of my friends coming down now for the weekend, you know?
Yeah.
Make sure you're out on Saturday night. And then I'd be saying to her, oh, I've got loads of great lads down in Mullingar, you know, come on down for the weekend. So it started like that. Then they all started getting married. So, you know, a few of them started getting married or in relationships and the whole lot. So then I was single myself. I realised how difficult it was to meet someone. And then I was like, I'm going to start helping more people. And from there then, loads of people just start saying, do you have anybody? I have a sister that's single. And then I'd be in the hairdressers and sure they'd be coming over going, do you have any, you know, any lads?
Did you start a website or an app or what?
So first of all, it was just word of mouth. And I just kind of was just randomly matching people up. Then I started up doing the matchmaking itself because I said, look, it was getting too much. There was people ringing me up and everything.
Yeah.
So that started. But then I launched a thing called A Table for Six, where I sent three single ladies and three single men on group dinner dates all over Ireland. So I launched that on a Friday evening and I turned on the website and I don't know what happened. I had to take off the phone number anyway on the Monday morning for about 6 months. Like, honestly, I was on, it launched on the Friday evening. On the Monday morning, I was on the Ryan Tuberty show for 3 minutes. And honestly, after that week, I was on 2FM. The Miriam O'Callaghan show on Saturday night. 8,000 people contacted me in 6 weeks.
How does it, but I mean, if me and Smax, you know, are both single and we bring our mate Mickey, like, and then there's three single girls, like, what if two was fancy the same girl? Like,
yeah, but sure, she's allowed to decide who she wants to.
That's an absolute shark tank of a first date.
Yeah, I know.
It's dragging den, you know, a first date.
I'd say all the women would actually love to be on a table with yourselves. And I don't know if there'd be any dating. They'd just be laughing.
They wouldn't get a word in.
They'd just be solid laughing for the 2 hours.
You have another one called The Farmer Wants a Wife.
Yes. So what I found...
straight away, our listeners' ears are pricking off. Tell us about
the farmers now are like, geez, I wouldn't mind a wife myself.
Tell us about what is this?
So I was dating a farmer myself when I set all this up. Not anymore, but I was dating a farmer at the time. Yeah. And so what happened was I started getting all these... like, I was living down in Tipperary and I was on Tip FM. So all these farmers started ringing me saying, hey, can I talk to you about matchmaking? Because that's the main thing I do, is one-to-one. Like, it's 100% private. And so it works, especially in rural Ireland. People don't want other people knowing their business. Unless, of course, they're on Tinder and they're sending weird messages and the whole lot. Well,
there's enough of them out there.
Yeah, so I started up, The Farmer Wants a Wife. And it literally was all farmers coming to me and all women that wanted to meet farmers. And can I just say, I'm always looking for more women that want to meet farmers because it's brilliant. Like, they just, it's a way of life. It's not just a career, you know. It's not 9-to-5 job, especially during calving and silage and the whole lot. So, basically matching up farmers. I went down to the ploughing then for the 3 days. We'd hand out a few leaflets and the crack we'd have down at the ploughing championships in the bars afterwards and the dancing and the whole lot. Doubt.
But tell me this, why is there the entire world and then farmers? How come the farmers need their own website?
Because, do you know what it is, right? There's kind of some deal breaker stuff. So when I'm meeting people for matchmaking, I have a chat with them as to what they're looking for. Like, there's a full consultation. I meet every single person before I match them up. So what I have to ask them is different questions. One of the more important ones, do you want to have kids? Do you not want to have kids? Like, that's going to be a deal breaker question. Smoking, by the way, is a big deal breaker question, whether they smoke or whether they don't. And don't just say, I won't smoke on the day of the dates for the first 3 days, you know. Like, it's kind of like life insurance. Like, you know, this is not going to work, you know. But the other one then is a lot of women, one would say, I wouldn't mind meeting a farmer, especially if they've come from a rural area themselves.
Yeah.
Or they might say, here, my father was a dairy farmer. Don't put me with the farmer. Yeah, like, I want to get off the farm. So it can go either direction and it can be a deal breaker. So then I was like, right, I need women that definitely want to meet farmers.
Okay, what are the big things that let's start with women, say, that women come in saying, like, most common things on the list?
Okay, so they would like to meet a nice, decent guy. And
don't know any, sorry.
Don't know any, no. But really, that has, in plain terms, that has their shit together. You know, that's kind of switched on to meeting someone, possibly having a family, doing all the things that we're supposed to do in life. Eventually we have to grow up.
I can't imagine a woman coming in just going, I want a wretch. So fella, he's down the pub. He has to be down the pub 6 days a week. That's anyway, it. Definitely, you know.
He's in the pool.
You have to remember, that's it. Or you have to remember, a lot of them, by the time they come to me, they have been on Tinder, you know. Yeah. They have been online. Yeah. They've gotten all these and they're just like, come here, I can't deal with that anymore. I need to meet a decent man now or I've given up, you know.
Are you typically dealing with a certain age?
I deal with all ages from 20 to 70, but my main ages would be from about 30 to about 48, men and women that would like to have a long-term relationship. And I mean, it's not just farming. It could be business owners, all walks of life, all over Ireland.
I guess at that age, like you say, you've tried dating apps and whatever.
Tinder, yes.
Sick
yeah.
of that
like,
shit now.
Like, if we're honest, this year has been an absolute joke for dating.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I feel bad for most people that have been single for this year because the year is just going on and on and on, okay. you know?
So that's women, top things on the list has to be like a decent guy.
There's going to be kindness is the biggest thing. Everybody asks for kindness, men and women, that has their shit together.
So when you say
shit treats
together,
her like a lady.
You mean like, you know, drives.
Well, job.
A job, yeah, it has their own car, possibly even saving up for a house or looking for a house, you know.
That's personal hygiene.
Well, that would be on the very basic level. They're not coming.
No, just put it out
there.
If they don't have
personal hygiene, there's no point coming to me. But I've had a few chats now along the way. Okay. I had to put a blanket rule in there a couple of years ago that if you're coming to me for a consultation, dress as if you're going on a date. So, like, we had one situation, right? It always, you know, these rules always come from one extreme situation. So there was I was meeting a farmer anyway, and I was in the Anner Hotel there in Thurles. Apologies in advance. But the door opens anyway. And as the door opened, I just got this whiff of, well, just say farm animal excrement is all I can say, right? And here I am trying to, you know, get through the whole consultation, whatever. I'll tell you, it was the fastest consultation. Yeah. What would you normally wear in date? So I just had to come in with the blanket rule. Now, that's the extreme version. Most people come. But, and then because the rule is there, I get women saying, you know, I've booked an appointment to get my makeup done for the concert. You don't need to be going that far. Get some sort of shape on yourself.
So, on the other hand then, what are the main things that men come asking for?
Now, I don't want a woman with any drama. So that's normally, first of all, yeah. No drama. Someone that, you know, you could, that a good bit of style, actually. They're quite visual when it comes to it. Someone I could bring home to mammy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The mammy test. Yeah. I think that's really important for lots of men.
I could bring Jennifer Lopez home. And the mother still wouldn't settle for anyone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm getting married next year, too.
She's getting,
I'd love
like
your future wife. Yeah.
Eventually, yeah.
And how did they get on?
Good. Yeah. In fairness, like, you know, but I think there is that thing with a mammy and a son.
Yeah, there
that
is.
That is kind of like, oh, no matter who it is, like, you know.
They need to shape up. Yeah, they're never going to
never
be quite good
enough. Yeah.
But are people very specific when they come to you, like, she has to be, you know, 5'7" with black hair.
And a teacher.
And, yeah.
Or a nurse, yeah.
Or she has to be this or that. Like, you know, are people very specific?
Most people have a fair idea of what they're looking for. It kind of tends to be more a feeling, you know. Some people are, when I'm talking to them, I know they're very visually focused. Other people is like, I just like someone that I can have a bit of crack with and not too high maintenance that I can enjoy my life with.
Yeah.
You know, it depends where they're coming from. You know, now some lads, if they've their car all shiny and they want to have someone shiny sitting in the passenger seat with them, you know. So, like, it depends kind of their own lifestyle.
I know a few lads like that.
Yeah.
But do you ever find people who come in with a really specific list? And then they meet someone and they click and the list goes out the window.
Yeah. So it's funny because say sometimes I'd be doing the matchmaking. So I send them, I arrange all their dates for them. So I give them a call. I say, have someone for you. And I go down through the list with them. Now, this is after I've had the consultation and everything with them. And sometimes there can be a couple of weeks in between dates. Or during lockdown there, you know, I couldn't send people on dates for up to 6 weeks at a time or whatever. So I'd ring them up for their date after lockdown. And me after working, on their next date and flat to the mat in the office for the couple of weeks. And next thing you'd ring them and you'd say, oh, well, actually, I met someone there a few weeks ago and I'm kind of seeing her now. So I wouldn't feel right going out on a date with someone else. And I'm like, yeah, that's grand. It's no problem. Sure, tell me about her. And they start telling me about her. I'm like, sure, that's nothing like you described to me. You know, this is like complete. You said to me, you don't want a smoker. You don't want this. Yeah. You don't want that. Yeah. She needs to be a minimum height of this.
Yeah.
She needs to have a professional job, all these things. And I'm like, here. So it shows, though. But, like, there's all the science then behind dating, lads. That's a whole other level. The chemistry, the pheromones, the whole lot, you know. So very often what happens is people are talking online, they're texting. And what happens is they build up this rapport. So you've probably done it yourself. These text messages going over back. And you're thinking, like, the guy and the girl thinking, Jesus, we're on to a winner here now. Yeah. We're going in the right direction. And then you meet them. And so you really don't know how you're going to get on until you meet them, because ye have pheromones, we have pheromones. And when you meet, you kind of scan to think, oh, I wonder would this be a good match for me? It's all subconscious. It's all to do with your own personal DNA and everything like that. And essentially what's happened is you're looking to mate. Both people are looking to mate with someone so that if you have kids, that they would have a diverse gene pool. So yeah, there's the science behind dating. So you thought Tinder was handy. Wait till you start getting into the science and all.
I don't know what sort of type I am. On my second date with Annie, like, I told her I loved her. And then she didn't say it back. She was like,
oh. Do you think though that works? I think because then you have to do a little bit of work then in the background.
Oh, 100%. So. Oh, listen, yeah. I still don't know if she loves me.
Yeah. And you're getting married.
She's hard to read.
She's keeping it keen.
That's it, no harm.
The main question we get sent in here is lads... Any mostly age lads. Up to this kind of 18 to 24, thousands of lads, how do I get a date? How do I ask a girl out? My friends are class with the birds. I'm useless.
Yeah, okay.
And we, you know, here you are now. Help us out. Help.
But like,
I can hear every lad turning up the volume now.
It's a very broad question.
No, and it's very important.
And it is so different because, like, Johnny's better at talking to people that, like, say we don't know or anything. Like, so even if we're in a pub, whether it's a lad or a girl, like, if he's talking to someone, like, he'd be much better than me. Whereas if I get to know him, I'm grand. But I'd be a bit, I'm cagey enough at the start. Yeah. Like. So I think some lads are like that.
What advice would you give?
First
to
of all, a lot of guys spend a lot of time with other lads. Okay, so what's happening is they're like maybe have a load of brothers. They might be working and doing a bit of farming, or they might be whatever, or working in construction, male type jobs. And what happens is they get so used to talking to guys that they actually forget they need to talk to women a little bit differently. So things like being kind to them, actually showing a bit of interest. Also, as well, some lads are quite sneery or sarcastic.
Sorry. Show interest. I'm just writing this
down.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Take note. Yeah. Second of all, some lads can be quite sneery or, you know, sarcastic and everything. I'm sure you might have a little bit yourself, but you have to know when to balance it up. Like, it's not, you're not 5 years of age anymore, you know, you're not in the playground pulling her hair.
Yeah.
You need to actually, so give her a compliment. Not
That's
being like,
the bedroom.
Oh, yeah, not like, oh, Jesus, I like your dress there today. You know, actually being like, I really like your dress. Yeah. I like a girl with a bit of style, you know. So, talking to her like a,
so
like
honestly,
a lady.
No, the lads listen to this. You would say to them that if they find themselves in a bar at the counter and there's a girl beside them and they like the look of her, that they could actually, is that a good opener to say to her?
Because you look lovely.
Yeah.
I actually really like your dress.
Yeah, I must say you look really great. But say it sincerely. Don't be like, oh, Jesus, you look well.
You
like,
look grand.
In
a creepy way.
In a creepy way, because then she's going to be like, quick, grab the drinks, run, you know?
Yeah.
But like, actually say it to her in a sincere way and say, you know, just chat away to her and like, you having a good night and who you here with this evening. That's a great one as well, who you here with this evening, because, you know, if she's here with the girls, she's probably single. If she's here with her boyfriend, at least now you've established.
And he's 6 foot
know.
Seven looking at you here in the spot butter.
I live it off.
Yeah, exactly. But then as well, what I always say is, like, it depends who you hang around with as well. If you are hanging around with a load of lads that are real sneery and are always laughing. So if you're talking to a girl and you've five mates behind you going, oh my God, look at your man.
They're behind you
up.
Doing the wanker sign. Don't date him, he's got rabies.
This is exactly it. So if they're all, if she could see this going on in the background, she'd be like, I don't want to be the butt of any joke.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of separate yourself out. Like, if your friend is getting ladies more than you, the chances are, he might be great crack and a little bit sneery and everything, but when he's talking to her, he's really engaging with her. He's being a gentleman and he's treating her like a lady. Like, every woman wants to be treated like a lady and every man wants to be treated like a man. You
I
know?
Don't know. I don't know. What about the old, you know, men are bastards?
Yeah, but that's because some of them are. Yeah, but
no, I mean, like, the cool dude approach. We were only talking about that episode of the IT crowd.
Yeah.
Chris O'Dowd just goes around, he puts on his Tinder bio like, I'm an absolute bastard. Gets about 1,000 matches straight away.
Yeah, but in fairness now, he probably...
Women, are women and men in their own regard attracted to, like, you know, a bad boy or, you know...
Yeah. Just asking for a friend.
Yeah, Some are, some are. And in fairness, I would often say, like, some girls say, oh, I've pick the worst men or whatever. And what happens is some women need to kind of look at their boundaries or where they're coming from or whatever, or maybe how they grew up. Like, you know, they might be used to being treated badly. And like, that's the sad part of it as well. You know, everybody can do better. Everybody can treat people nicer. This year has been a very difficult year for people. Like, and also think about the type of relationship you'd like to be in.
Yeah.
So if you're in a sort of relationship that... that, you know, oh, I'm going to stay out late tonight. Like, if there's a girl always, if you're with a woman, we'll say, and she's always giving out to you for going out with the lads and having a bit of fun and everything, like having a conversation with her, you know, what do you think is acceptable and not acceptable? Like, anybody that tries to completely isolate you from your friends or your family, that's a little bit of a red flag anyway, okay? So you should never want to be with someone 24/7. They should have their own life and you should have your own life.
Yeah, did you hear that, Johnny?
I think, though, you kind of touched on it there, is like, if you're in a past relationship, yeah. like what you consider normal to what someone else says,
yeah.
like considers normal, is probably completely different then. Like, so
absolutely, you know, people are just, look, everybody would like to have a nice relationship. There's a lot of people out there have, like, some of your friends might be in relationships, but it might be a crap enough relationship if they're always fighting. You know, the couple, yeah, yeah. and yeah, every well, night they go out.
Nobody would know, Johnny, but like, no, no. I've heard of it.
Yeah, yeah. But every night they go out, they're killing each other and everything. Like, yeah. really, should they be together? Like, yeah. seriously, lads, like, you might be a little bit happier not being in that sort of situation.
You said it there about sneery friends
yeah.
and stuff like that. So how can a group of friends, or even if you're just out with one of the lads, like, how can someone be a good wingman or a wingwoman?
Well, you first of all, being nice to your mates and everything, because you are kind of, like, you're there with them and you're going to say to them maybe something like, she's a lovely girl, over to go over and have a chat with her. Even saying that, they might be like, oh, grant, like, I'm safe enough to go over. It's kind of like yeah. an endorsement or reassurance, yeah. especially to a guy that's shy. I have, like, great friends and I had great, like, lad friends growing up. And one of the guys was really shy about, there was this girl he really fancied. His father owns a shop and she was working in the shop and he really fancied her. So what happened was, the lads were like, well, sure, ask her out. And he just wasn't able, you know, the words yes. wouldn't come out. Yeah. So anyway, one of the lads, a different guy, actually, his name is Johnny B as well.
There you go.
But anyway, no, he said to her one night, if you don't go ask her out tonight, I'm actually going to go over and I'm going to kiss her. And he was like, what do you mean? And guess what? They're actually married now. So they are, yeah, just a bit of peer pressure in the right direction. You
yeah,
know?
You're a good old wingman, in fairness. Like, I've seen you lead the boys by the hand around coppers.
And there'd be times now, like, we'd go in and people would recognise me or Smacks.
Of course.
I'd have a four
you
single
must be
lads.
Like the Pied Piper. Oh, yeah.
Are
you?
Ah, the boys are delighted. Breaking yeah, ball. Yeah. Johnny just breaks them down. The boys pulling them then. Like.
Yeah. one thing you mentioned just off air was women, don't yeah. be shy about asking a man out.
Yeah.
But I'd be afraid that the lad would be like, geez, this one's fucking mad about me, huh? And then
yeah, yeah.
not respect her.
Yeah.
Like, I know. It's being all polite. Like, most girls are not really going to ask a guy out, if I'm honest. It's rare enough. But giving him some sort of indication that you like him. Like, it's nothing worse than if you're talking to a girl and she is a brick wall and you have no idea whether or not she likes you or not. Like, if you give a little bit, like, Irish people are so bad at flirting, so give him some sort of indication that you like him, you know, maybe put your hand on his arm or whatever. If there's any women, you know, listening, put your hand on his arm or lean in a little bit closer, obviously with your mask on and COVID-19 and the whole yeah. lot. But like, give him some sort of indication that you like him as well. You maybe don't need to full on ask him out, but kind of meet him halfway. Like, no lad in Ireland that I've ever met is a completely 100% professional dater. So give him an old chance, you yeah. know, at least meet him halfway. And if you don't like him, yeah. And if you don't like him, don't be wasting his time. Don't stand there talking to him all night yeah. if you're not interested, just to boost your ego. So it's kind of, you need the women to come halfway and you need the men to at least ask the question. Come on, yeah. lads, you know, do it, you know.
How would a man or a woman rebrand themselves? Let's say, you know, oh, that lad's a player. You know, I've heard people say that about lads before, or vice versa with women. Is there a way to rebrand, or how can someone change, you know, so yeah. change the perception, I guess?
Or are they going to have to start dating, like, outside the county?
Yeah, yeah, well, actually, now, I have a guy on my books, and he is known as a bit of a comedian, but a lot of his sketches would be about, you know, dating, and, you know, it wouldn't be easy now going there, you know, that sort yeah. of way.
Do we know him?
I didn't know you signed up that.
But basically what I had to say to him is, look, just be kind, stop the sneering stuff, and actually kind of let it be known there, you know, when you're talking to her, say to her, look, I suppose, yeah, if she brings it up, say to her, I know I was a bit of a jack the lad back in the day or whatever, but it was more to do with work and business or whatever. You know, even like, I know I sowed my wild oats or whatever yeah, the saying yeah. is back in the day, but actually I'd love to meet someone now and settle down the whole lot. Kind of give her some sort of indication.
Be genuine, kind of.
But
more
just
so
be genuine.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Yeah. Like, just be kind and nice. That's what dating is. People feeling safe in each other's company. Also not feeling like they're going to be the butt end of people's jokes. Yeah. And yeah. then as well, like, keep the conversation kind and everything. Don't be like looking for photographs or any of that crack, you know, to.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we've got to ask you on the flip side of that.
Yeah.
A couple of people have wrote to us they just want to hook up.
Yeah, okay.
And we had someone write in saying, my friend is out of a long, long-term relationship and now he wants to get back on, you know, with some ladies.
Lockdown's been hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And he's not quite ready for a relationship, but any girl that he meets on Tinder or whatever, they get chatting, they end up going on dates. then yeah. he's dating and he's like, I don't want to date. He just, you know, people just need to have sex.
Yeah, I think he needs to just be a little bit more upfront about what he's looking for, right?
That's awkward.
Yeah, like there's no term, like, you know, like I've heard like Netflix and chill, but like say you put in your Tinder bio, like,
yeah,
I just want the bone.
Just want casual sex.
Yeah, casual,
like, yeah, well, I think he just needs to be really honest about it. I know you're saying like yeah. it's not easy, but if he is on Tinder, putting it straight up there, just looking for something casual, or on the first message saying, hey, like, whatever, I am looking for something casual. I'm not looking to get into a relationship. I'm just out for a relationship. The only thing is, when you're talking to a girl, 2 or 3 dates in, like, if you start going on dates and everything, like, it does cross wires. Like, women are very yeah. differently emotionally invested when it comes to sex,
wrong,
you know? Absolutely. Yeah. So
what happens
then
is, I suppose, they go on a couple of dates, he gets the jump, and then he ignores her. It's happened. Like, we've heard of our friends doing yeah. it and having it done to them.
It's managing the situation and everything and just being upfront there from the beginning. Yeah. But then, like, I have rules now when it comes to dating. It's like, don't use anybody for sex and don't let them use you for sex. So, like, you know, it's also being a lady of high value and a man, you know, a gentleman and everything.
Yeah.
Like, I understand people sometimes need a break before they get dating and everything again. But, like, maybe having a little bit of a think to himself, you know, why do I not want to meet someone else? Like, am I that scarred from my last relationship? Do I need to maybe have a think about it? Do I need to even go and talk to somebody? Yeah. Like, yeah. people, we don't understand what goes on in relationships. Like, there's a lot of mind games in some relationships as well. So, like, there's sometimes lads, like, you know, I meet a lot of people that maybe had a really heavy relationship in their early 20s or their mid 20s for a couple of years. And then when they come out of it, they might have a 10-year break. And then they're yeah. coming to me saying, look, all my friends are after getting married. They're all having kids. I'm lonely. I'd like to meet someone, but I actually had a really bad relationship a few years ago, and I'm just kind of nervous about getting back into a relationship.
So you just say to this guy who's out there just looking for casual sex, would you say to him to think twice? Is he sure that's what he's really after?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, if it is, just be straight up, and that's all I'm looking for. And even saying to the girl, you know, I'm just telling you, that's all I am looking for. And just,
I'm not a creep. I'm just
I'm not a creep. Yeah.
I don't know. If a guy puts in his Tinder bio, just looking for something casual,
a lot
is every girl just going to not?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, see, that's the difference between men and women, you know? It is. And
like, if a girl had in her bio, just looking for something casual, a lad's going to say that.
She'd be busy later.
Her phone would blow up, I'd say.
I don't know. Would lads not be that like, oh, stay at her life? You'd be judging.
Yeah, people would be judging.
Yeah, they would. See, that's the difference, you know?
If people are in a relationship, we said earlier on, and they're the ones on a night out, always fighting. The two of them are constantly unhappy.
Yeah.
And everyone's going, do you know what? Two of you just need to break up or whatever, like.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you break up with someone? I know, your job is putting them together, yeah, not breaking them up.
In fairness, and you have to have the chance as well. If people are absolutely killing each other and they're not happy in their relationship, you do need to look at it. Like, the life is long. Owl Road, though it is, and like, you don't, who wants to be Johnny and Mary from Father Ted, you know? Yeah. Like, killing each other, how are you, father? But you know, you actually have to think to yourself, wait a second, like, am I actually happy, and would I be happy with this being my life? A lot of relationships are convenience when it gets to a certain point and everything. Yeah. Like, I recently launched my own podcast, Would Like to Meet, if anybody wants to listen to it.
Get the show in,
Would Like to Meet. It's just a dating podcast. I have experts on every single week. I have psychologists. I had a seduction and flirting coach from Channel 4 on.
Oh,
yeah, I had a life coach. I had a clinical psychologist as well, if anybody has, you know, dealing with mental health issues and would still like to date, trying to keep your emotion and energy high.
Very good.
But, you know, if someone is in a relationship, and we do talk about it in one of the episodes, how to break up with someone, is thinking about, look, am I enjoying this? Is it serving the bit greater life that I want? Sometimes we have to take a step back and think to myself, what life do I want? Do I want to be killing someone for the rest of my life? Do I want to not want to go home after work? Do I, you know, every time I go on a night out, is there always drama if I go to meet my friends? Is there someone trying to isolate me from my friends and family? Like, there's lots of red flags there. And just because you've been going out with someone for 4 or 5 years, maybe engaged, maybe expecting a ring this Christmas and everything like that, doesn't mean you need to stay with them. So having a chat with them, saying, look, are you actually happy? Because I'm miserable. We're all fighting the whole time. Yeah. I don't like it. We should be able to enjoy life. Life is like, the person you're with should be enhancing your life. You should be a team together. And like, it should be a friendship as well as a romantic connection. So you know, having a look at that. But then if it's like, it is December now, and if it's the case, you're like, oh, geez, I might break up with them so I don't have to buy them a Christmas present.
Always clever. Yeah.
I'm just going to give you a bit of advice on that. It's going to cost you twice as much on the far side of Christmas to get them back, to win them back. So be careful now, you know.
Just to finish up, Maria, where can people go, you know what I mean, to find you, to get in touch with you? I know we have three or four lads now will be on the blower to you 100%. Yeah. So where can they go?
So my website is lovehq.ie. I'm also on Instagram. I hold private consultations. That's the one thing. My matchmaking service is completely confidential. So I hold consultations in Dublin, Galway, Cork, Limerick, Kilkenny, Mullingar and online. And as well, I arrange all aspects of their date for them. I follow up them after all their dates and we have a chat with the type of person you want, and I'll only send you on dates to people that I think would be suitable
and
for you.
And you've had what? Over 6,000 dates. What are the stats? Have we many babies, marriages?
Yeah, we have marriages, babies, engagements, people moving in together. I had a couple actually, I set them up in March last year, and in March this year they were bringing their new baby home from the hospital on their first anniversary. The two of them rang me and they were like, you're not good at, like, this is a whole other level. But yeah, like real people, like I sometimes get people that haven't had a hug in 12 years. So if anybody out there would like a bit of dating advice or would like me to set them up on dates, give me a call. I'm all over the country, people from all walks of life.
There you go. Unbelievable, Maria. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Any famous people?
Loads of famous, and I can't tell you any.
Oh, I love it. I love it. She is properly private.
Lads, you know?
There you go. Thanks a million, Maria.
Thanks a million.
If you want to turn them on, just bake them an apple tart. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News. It's Noel's News. How are you, Uncle?
How are things?
You were talking about George Michael there, early on. The only man to write a love song about pints.
It's what?
Last Christmas, I gave you my harp.
You're on fire.
Do they know it's Christmas time at all? Not in Tip Town. December. They still think it's 97. There's a big square you can draw, right? Take a map.
Okay.
From Limerick.
Right.
Yeah, to Nina.
Yeah.
Turles.
Yeah.
Care.
Yes.
Everything inside that is the dead zone.
Do you reckon?
Yes, like a Bermuda Triangle, but with sheep.
Time forgot it.
Yeah, a few Bucalons. Other than that, like, have you ever been to Holyford?
I was in Holyford.
You were not.
I was in Holyford.
It's impossible. You can't get there. a road.
It was hard to get
appears
there.
Appears on a full moon. Something like that.
And that's how you get.
That's how you get to Holyford, right? Holyford, where the flay at the man. Right? Kappa White, Kappa Moore, Dala, Silver Mines. Rossmore, Holy Cross, do these places actually exist? They don't.
Have you never been there?
No, it's just people from Cashel trying to be smart. Mum, we go to Dundrum. Fuck, way out of that.
You reckon Dundrum isn't real?
100%. We ever there? Never, see? we ever in there?
Yeah. I played a hurling match in Dundrum.
It was years ago.
Okay, it's disappeared then.
Yeah. Like, if you, okay. They messed with your mind.
Okay, I just thought it was Dundrum.
Yeah. Maybe you were there as a child.
Yeah.
Right? But that's like going to visit Santee.
Okay.
You visit Santee as a child and it's magical experience, there's elves, there's music and wonderment. And then you go as an adult and it's Paddy Fong chained to a shopping trolley. Okay? Do Santee for an hour and I'll buy you a bottle of Powers. And then he's all like, no hassle.
Like the way he goes on, yeah.
Children come in. Santee, why is there a smell of petrol off here? You know, I'd be saying, look, Santee's flat out making dinky cars. How do you think they run? Santee, why are you wearing a World Cup 2002 hat? Santee, have you been drinking washing up? You would if you got it.
Yeah, oh, whoop, whoop.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
I once saw Fong drink washing up liquid.
No way.
Yeah, he was stuck. But in fairness, he was the only man who was able to piss and clean the jacks at the same time. I tell you, the children in town got some land. And they seen Santee falling down the town that night, huh? Santee, you have to shave off the beard. No hassle. He's a guest man, is the Fong boy.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you do an impression of Paddy Fong?
Me?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on. I won't be around the weekend. Isn't that good?
That was a good impression. Yeah, it's decent though, yeah. It almost took ages to practice that.
I won't be around.
Oh yeah, that's very good. It's getting even better. The more you practice it, the better you get.
News.
Lovely.
I have more news here. More news.
Mm.
Another man who won't be around is Dale McLaughlin. Are you following the news?
I'm not familiar with that. No.
He's a roofer. And during the year there, he was doing a job out in Dial a Man.
Right.
And now that's not a slang for shaving your bollocks or something. Ooh, okay. Doing a job on the Isle of Man. No, it was actually a tradesman. And he met a one and they started going out. And he had to go back to Scotland where he's from. But this being Christmas and him being mad for the ride, he got a jet ski and he drove from Scotland out to the Isle of Man.
Oh my God.
On a jet ski. Now, we've all done strange things for the ride. Yeah. let's call it
Spanish. That's right, yeah, that's right.
Shovel here now. When I met Carmel's father, he called me an idler.
Go away.
Thought I was some sort of a dodger. A dosser.
A dosser.
A charlatan, he called me.
A charlatan.
Well, I went out his backyard and I cut his grass so hard and I chopped every block of timber in his shed. And I went into the neighbours and I chopped their timber and I put it in his shed. And I washed his car and I put diesel in his car and I noted petrol. Then I painted the walls white. And I painted the roof and slates white. I painted the tarmac white. I caught a field of corn behind. I carried a heifer into town on my back. Just to show him.
Yeah.
I wasn't afraid of hard work. Yeah.
He must have been delighted.
He called the guards on me. I had to impress the father.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That has to be done.
Squad car came in, ruined me new white tarmac.
My new white tarmac.
This man, right, he looked at a map and he said that he's living in Whitetarn in Scotland. He said it's only 25 miles to the Isle of Man and a jet ski can do about 40 miles an hour.
Okay.
So he said, yes, I'll be out there in less than an hour. No hassle.
Yeah, no.
4.5 hours it took him.
Oh my God.
And then when he got there, he had to walk 25 kilometres on foot. In his feet. But he might have had shoes, yeah. I don't know.
You can't Google map that.
What?
You know, going across on a jet ski.
Oh, no, there's like options are train, bus, car. Yeah. There's no jet ski
option. Yeah, there's no jet ski option on the map.
I got him. But he was dodging police. He was breaking the COVID restrictions and all. Just to get a ride.
Oh my God.
What a Romeo.
What a Romeo.
Now, the judge gave him 4 weeks in jail.
Go away.
For breaking the COVID. Yeah. He made shit of it. And because Dial a Man is pretty much COVID free.
Okay.
They're all happy out on the lash.
Yeah, yeah.
Lucky bastards. But you can't go if you're not a resident.
Ah, right.
Like Holyford. Or Mass.
Yeah.
You hear you have to get a ticket for Mass now at COVID.
I heard that in town yesterday.
Would you be interested in a ticket if I had one?
How much are they going for?
20 bob.
For Mass?
Yeah.
Mass is meant to be free.
25 is my final offer.
Yeah, go on, so go on.
Because you're only allowed to book two tickets at a time, two tickets each.
Okay.
But I have all the old ones in the nursing homes ringing up for me, booking tickets. I sell them on.
Okay.
And I give the old ones a bit of a kickback then.
Yeah, yeah, 10% kickback.
I'm pimping the old ones. But I get you a ticket.
Go on, I'll take one.
No, but when you walk up to the door, you're going to have to say your name is Peggy Halpin. Now, they won't have seen Peg in a while.
Yeah.
So you'll probably get away with it.
Jesus.
And if anyone recognises your aunt, and you look very different, Peg, you say, it's the old tablets. To have me on the blood tinning tablets.
On the tablets.
And the side effects would include, growing 9 or 10 inches taller, yeah, and sprouting a beard and
turning into a 29-year-old man.
Turning into a man from Masquerade, yeah. But if you wear a red coat and just say God bless, they'd all assume you're Peggy.
Okay, I'll try that.
Do you know Peg?
I do know Peg, yeah.
Yeah, just, she must be, would she be 80, would she?
She is, she's
would
a
she
day,
be 85,
yeah.
Would she?
She could be.
Just, she'd never be 90, would she?
She'd be touching this.
Would she be touching
this? Yeah, she'd be touching this.
Just a minute ago you said she was 80.
You fucking prick.
Yeah, she's a fine looking woman.
Yeah.
Well, she's shoving on now.
I'm not engaging with you anymore.
She's shoving on now. She must be 100.
She could be 100.
Yeah, no, she's not, like, she was a fine looking woman in her day. But
yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Like, now, I mean, you'd write her at a wedding. Like, like, but, like, do you know?
Jeez.
Actually, she's only about 75, you know?
Is she?
She could be 80. Did you see my interview with Joe Biden?
I did. I did see your interview with Joe Biden, yes.
Hard questions.
How did you manage to fly over to America to interview him and come back and no COVID test, no nothing? I don't know how you manage.
What's written on the front of every pub door in Ireland?
What?
Pull.
Is that how you done it? You've a bit of pull, yeah?
Bit of pull.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you about, see, me and Joe go way back. Well, I'll tell you about the last time he was over, I met him as well.
Go away.
Yeah. And when he was vice president, he was over. And I met him on Harcourt Street in Dublin on Sunday morning. Yeah. I said, how are you, Joe? He said, a bye all. I said, how are you doing?
How are you doing?
And he said, will we get a drink? Says Joe. And I said, I will, Joe, says I. Will we go to Ryan's? Oh, says Joe, we can't go to Ryan's. I'm barred out of Ryan's.
Joe Biden's barred out of Ryan's?
Yeah. He said, I'm barred out of Ryan's. Will we go to Flannery's?
Okay.
And I said, well, the trouble is, says I, I'm barred out of Flannery's. Will we go to the Palace?
Yeah.
He said, no, what? And he said, hold on. Hurry on. I'm barred out of the Palace.
Ah, here.
We may go to the Dame Tavern. And I said, well, Jesus, the trouble is, Joey, I'm barred out of the Dame Tavern. And he says, well, good luck, sir. I'll see you again. Yes, fucking man.
Yes, man, Joe, huh?
All right, Joe, bye.
Good man, Joe.
My full interview now is up online.
Yeah, you can see that on the line.
Watch it.
On Instagram and Facebook, when Noel met Joe, it's up there now.
Yeah.
Good man.
Good luck.
Talk to you later.
Of course.
Hey, have a good Christmas.
Over and out.
Yeah, and plan for Christmas.
No.
Good man.
You'd miss the pub.
Yeah, you would. You would.
But.
Sad.
It'll be back.
It'll be back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have a good one anyway, and say hello to John Paul and the rest.
Yes. Maureen, I was hoping to see you before Christmas.
Sorry about that, Noel. I have to socially distance from you, you know? You're in the vulnerable age group.
Well, I'd normally try and stick to head in Maureen over Christmas. Well, sure. A couple of years in a row now, I'm going to keep trying. I'm like the Mayo footballers at Maureen now. She's Dublin. I can't get past her.
Legend. Talk to you later, Noel.
Good luck.
The only hen party she'll be having anytime soon is one with birds that lay eggs. Maureen, what's your mystery topic this week?
My topic this week is Tom Cruise. He's in a spot of bother. Did you hear about what he got up to?
Heard him roaring and bawling.
Yeah, well, for the listeners who haven't heard him giving out to some of his work colleagues on the set of Mission Impossible 7, here's the audio of it. One second.
You're the gold standard. You're back here in Hollywood making movies right now because of us. Because they believe in us and what we're doing. I'm on the phone with every studio at night. Insurance companies. Producers. And they're looking at us and using us to make their movies. We are creating thousands of jobs, you I don't ever want to see it again. Ever. And if you don't do it, you're fired. And if I see you do it again, you're f***ing gone.
Now, to me, that wouldn't bother me because, like, you know, that's pretty much the way my mother spoke to me, you know.
It's just another night in the late.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, it's like, oh, you did something wrong there. Don't do it again. But anyway, I want to know, have you ever gotten chewed out by a boss? Would you stand for that? If you, apparently five people have quit over Tom Cruise's outburst on the set of Mission Impossible 7. Would you speak to staff like that? Now, I would like to point out, in Tom Cruise's defence, apparently he's forking out £500,000 of his own money to put all the staff on the film in a cruise ship so they can properly self-isolate. So what happened was, basically, just so people understand, it was that two people were looking at a monitor. They were both wearing masks at the time, but they weren't 2 meters apart. So I can understand that's just a little slip of a momentary lapse. I think he was a little bit overreactive. Like, he wasn't like your man getting on the jet ski to go to the Isle of Man. So wondering what your
Tom's a bit stressed.
Yeah. And like, really, does he need to lose that much of a shit over something like that? Because who really wants to see Mission Impossible 7? I think I've gotten about as far as 2 in the series, and that's enough for me.
Yeah. Tom Cruise spent $500,000 for people to stay in the boat. Jesus, he dropped that in a chicken roll. Do you know what I mean?
He didn't have to.
Yeah, but that's a drop in the ocean there for Tom Cruise. But still, like, look, people should respect. But I can understand, like, if it's two people with a mask, you know, people do slip up. Mistakes can happen. Yeah. Like, that's full Tom Cruise. Like, only Tom Cruise can go full Tom Cruise.
It's amazing how he's angry at them, but he's still cheesy.
Yeah.
People are counting on us.
Yeah.
Scene. Well done, Tom. Yeah. I know, look, when I first heard it, I was like, Jesus, like, you know, he did kind of say it as people are losing their jobs and all. And then I was like, geez, someone must have been like really acting the bollocks. But two people, they were wearing masks.
Yeah.
And they got a bit too close together to a screen. Like, the rant, more like, it's like a full minute long, is it?
Yeah. It's 2 minutes and 40 seconds, the full rant. Now, for the
that's
fact,
a bit much.
For the last 40 seconds, he doesn't swear and he's a bit nice about it. But still, it's just like,
he could have just been like, listen, lads, come on. Like, you know the rules. That probably would have done.
Mm. Yeah.
There you go. What's that? 3 seconds. He could have ended.
You ever see the Christian Bale one?
Yeah.
Maura, have you heard that?
Yeah, he went mad at a lad for, was it a lighting technician for making noise? Yeah.
It is quite, honestly, it is quite off-putting. If someone, like, cameraman moving freaks me out. So, like, for, like, say in the TV show, the Christmas show, we're doing links to camera. You know what I mean? So you're coming from one thing to another and you've got a few seconds to do whatever, blah, blah. And we've written the script. Now, in fairness, we should have known the script, but like, still, it's not that easy. And then we didn't have auto cue, which presenters will have, where you just read it off the thing. We didn't have that, so we had to like memorize it. And then if you're thinking the lines while watching the camera and trying to do funny stuff, and then a cameraman moves his head slightly, it'd throw me off. It was throwing me off. I was like, fuck. Caught me eye. I was like, fuck, I forgot my lines. No, listen, it's easy. Set me off. But like, I wouldn't be ranting and raving about it.
I bet you said nothing to the cameraman. You're just like,
absolutely. I didn't open my mouth. Listen, Tom Cruise is a billionaire, huge Hollywood actor. I'm like barely getting away at what I'm at. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to be ranting and raving. Plus, people were working a long day on our show as well. So, you know, I wouldn't be ranting and raving. You have to be nice to everyone as well.
In my old jobs, I don't think I was ever really like screamed at. Once, when I was doing my apprenticeship, I hung up this big made this big gate and frame and all out of wood, and I was like, oh, I'm done. And then they were like, oh, you forgot to put like a brace in there or whatever. And I was like, oh. And your man was smoking a fag and he just said, that kind of penny you'd want to drop now.
Is that what he said?
And he walked off. And that was it. In 4 years, that was as close as I got to being given out to.
I've had like, sure, I told you. I think I said about that fella in Iceland, the frozen food store.
Yeah, we kept calling you the wrong name.
He kept calling me Tony.
It's not the same thing as being given out to.
Yeah, but he kept giving out to me about shaving.
Nah, he's just a prick.
I clean shaved one day and the next day I came in and had like a tiny bit of stubble. Like you would after one day. But I was basically clean shaved. And he was like, I told you already, Tony, to shave. And I felt like I said to him, listen, you fucking prick, right? It's not rocket science we're doing here.
Yeah.
I'm packing a freezer.
Yeah.
With like shit €1 meals.
You can do it with me jocks though.
Yeah, like it doesn't matter if I have a tiny bit of stubble on my face or not, like.
Yeah.
And that, but then one time, I said it a while ago as well, I was working in a film station and a boss came in and kicked a box of tails across the floor and told me, get outside, like.
That's too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is too far. I think we're a nice enough boss, are we, Neil? Mixed reviews from Neil.
There's going to be a support line number given out at the end of the segment for Neil. Yeah. So,
no, do you know what it is though? I think I don't think I'd ever be nasty to someone. We have high standards, in fairness, Johnny, in that we do.
We try to
achieve high standards. But like, no point being horrible to anyone. Plus, we've worked shit jobs and been I've been treated like shit anyway in some of my jobs, like, and felt undervalued. So I think it's important if you're a boss or a leader to be somewhat decent, just a decent, like, if you're a nice person, like, but at the same time, you don't suffer fools.
Yeah,
I think to be a bit of a bollocks.
Yeah, I think, you know, Tom Cruise might give this persona of being a really nice guy. Everybody would say about him that, you know, when he comes on to set or comes on to, you know, a chat show to be interviewed, he remembers everybody's names. But then Google the photo of Nicole Kidman celebrating after her divorce was finalized from him, and she looks like she's after winning like an All-Ireland final. So, you know, I think that picture tells one story too as well. So.
I'd rather be perceived as a prick but be nice when you know me than everyone be like, oh, he's lovely, and then you meet him and he's a bollocks, you know. I'd rather, be pleasantly surprised rather than horrified.
A lot of people have said that to us.
What, that I'm a prick?
No, like, the people are like, oh, you're actually sound. And we're always like, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Who told you we weren't sound?
Yeah, what are you going off
there?
Was
that Neil? Neil? We're not telling people again?
I don't know. There is a bit of a thing. Like, I think TV people, showbiz people, have a bit of a rep of being difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
Not always deserved, sometimes deserved.
Yeah.
We've had it said to us going around places here and there, people are like, television crews, like, are often a bit.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know what I mean? There's a bit of a rep.
Yeah, there is. Some people have reps, yeah.
I mean, Tom Cruise, let's be honest, doesn't really live in the real world.
No, probably not.
He lives on planet Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any of the problems in life that we have. He has different problems.
Yeah.
You know, he's like putting $500,000 of his own pocket to make a movie go ahead. That's a great problem.
Yeah.
Oh, but he's not living on the same world as we're living in.
Out of that $500,000 in the bank, baby. Lots of new runners.
Max wouldn't be doing the film at all, Mark.
This, yeah. Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. Use the hashtag #TwoJohnniesPod, that's the number two, to get in touch. You can also email us podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie, and you want us to discuss, or if you've got some correspondence, we're on Instagram @thetwojohnnies as well. And don't forget, tune in Christmas Eve, 10:15, RT2, Two Johnnies Christmas Spectacular.
That's the main thing to take away from all this. Okay, Johnny, you ready to do it?
Yes, man. It is time to end the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts of the Week.
What have you got, John?
My dirt.
Mm.
I was watching Netflix.
Okay.
As I do the odd time.
Yeah.
And I was watching Last of the Mohicans. Bit of a throwback.
Not as you do.
As I sometimes do. But on Netflix, subtitles don't come up automatically on a lot of films.
Yeah.
So I have to go in and put subtitles on. But I only want the subtitles when they're speaking Native American or whatever.
Aye.
I don't want subtitles the whole time. So, like, I'm watching, like, I'm like 10 minutes into the movie, and then Daniel Day-Lewis starts speaking another language. And I'm like, oh, there's no subtitles. What's the crack? So you have to go into, like, the settings, turn on the subtitles. Then the subtitles come on.
For everything.
For everything.
Yeah.
But that's a pain in the ass.
Do you know what? I'm not cultured enough, lad, to watch anything with subtitles.
So, and then there was times, so like Daniel Day-Lewis would finish speaking Mohican or whatever, and I turned the subtitles back off. And then like a minute later, they'd be speaking in Native American. I'm like, okay, I'll go put them back on. And there is no subtitles. It's one of those moments when you're not meant to understand what they're saying.
Ah, lad, you want to just watch something handy there.
That was handy. I thought it was going to be handy. It was like an old film about lads shooting each other. I was like, oh, I'm tired now, that'll do.
You want
to... He was good now, in fairness to him. Yeah. Dan.
Yeah. You want a Dan.
What have you got? You got a dirt?
No, I don't really have a dirt.
Okay.
It's Christmas week. I don't want to
yeah,
lay down the pardons. And my yurt of the week is obviously our television show, Christmas Eve, Man Alive. I can't believe it. It's pure dream come true stuff. So that's my yurt of the week. I hope people enjoy it.
Yeah.
Please enjoy it.
Yeah. Tweet along. We'll post the hashtag.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
My yurt of the week is we got a Christmas card.
Oh, yes.
I have to shout it out here from the Castrop
yeah,
family in Oceanside, California. They sent us two lovely Christmas cards, both the same. they came, they drove all the way from Oceanside down near San Diego to see us when we played in LA. And it was the little showcase gig we did for our TV show.
Yeah.
And we were pretty shit.
Yeah. We weren't pretty shit. We were fully dog shit.
So they came to see us and were very kind and have sent us photos of the day.
Yeah. The fact they're still fans is amazing after that.
One more thing. Do you remember on the Late Late Toy Show, there was a young man named Noah Rafferty who came on and was a real rocker.
Yeah, yeah.
Got like the hair and the strong looking dude. Yeah. Yeah. He's got his own song out called Rock is the Best Medicine.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
And it's pure me when I was that age. Like, yeah. So shout out to him.
Class.
One more thing. A lot of people going mad about like Time Magazine. You know, they have their person of the year.
Okay, who got it?
Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. But the thing is, I think people have to clarify this every year. It's not who Time Magazine think was the greatest person of the year. It's the person who had the biggest effect on the year. The person who will be most talked about that year.
Okay.
Because previous winners are like Hitler and stuff. So it's not like Time Magazine saying he's great. It's like in the future people will be talking about him.
Okay.
So
good to know.
Just, you know what I mean? Don't go mental if you're like, why did they give it to them? Also, last week I was like caffeine numbers on coffee pods.
Yeah.
A lot of people come back to me reckoning that the number on the coffee pod has nothing to do with caffeine content. It's on flavor. It's
intensity.
Yeah.
Intensity is passive answer.
So I don't know if I'm drinking strong coffee or weak coffee in terms of caffeine.
Oh, we have to figure this out. Jeez, somebody get in touch. Please let us know. That's all for this week. We just want to say to everyone who listens to this podcast continually, have an absolutely unbelievable Christmas. Mind yourselves. Stay safe. Look after each other.
Yeah.
Drink loads. Eat loads.
If you want.
If you want. Don't worry about nothing this Christmas. Obviously, just worry about watching our TV show as well. But that's it. Hope you have a great one and a happy new year to y'all.
Maura, happy Christmas to you.
Happy Christmas to you.
No. Happy Christmas to you. It's a cream egg under the tree for you. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
We'll see you later. Happy Christmas and happy new year. Go on.